Choreographer and dancer Bibi Miller challenges dance stereotypes. She says being black, a woman, and a New Yorker all figure into her work. Her female dancers move with strength, aggression, and independence. Black and white couples dance together, both with tenderness and combativeness. Miller got her start dancing in the New York postmodern dance scene. In 1984, she formed her own company, and 2 years later, the New York dance community awarded Miller the prestigious Bessie Award for choreography. New York Times critic Jennifer Dunning wrote that Miller's performances give one the sense of witnessing quite complex emotions and relationships, as well as being invited to share in the delight of purely physical wit. I asked Bibi Miller to describe one of her dances, called Two.
It's about relationships. It seems to me to have everything that's tenuous and tender and incredibly aggressive and violent at the same time. I'm not really interested in generally in just sort of like discussing or describing life situations, but Two was a real opportunity to kind of just tackle what it is being female with a male and role playing a lot of the kind of miscommunication or non-communication that goes on between people who we assume care about each other or are linked in some fashion.
I like the tension in your dances. And,
uh-huh.
and the tension in Two and in parts of Habit of Attraction of untangling yourself from a lover's hold on you.
You mean physically untangling,
yeah.
like taking his hands off
exactly,
your face?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And kind of climbing out of an embrace.
Uh-huh. It's funny, there are not many embraces that sort of stay and you feel like a real, you know, tenderness. I mean, it might start off that way, but all of a sudden you realize that you're locked in someone's arms and you really don't want to stay there. And I don't know. I think working with the dancers, they had a lot of problems sometimes just in dealing with this material because there is a lot of unconscious, you know, well, if I'm in this kind of relationship, I'm just going to leave. But in working on a piece, you can't leave and can't walk off the stage. You have to deal with it. So you have to deal with somebody being really repressive and oppressive to your person. And how do you, you know, handle that?
I think of you as, in a way, bringing innovations from abstract dance and putting it into a more narrative context.
Uh-huh.
Do you think of yourself as doing that?
Yeah, that's a pretty good way of putting it. I think my primary, the way I see myself most is as a mover. Physical daring, risk, movement is what interests me the most. But I found it really hard to separate the rest of my life from my work. You know, I'd go into the studio and it's like, okay, let's deal with some movement. Let's just deal with some steps. And then I'd go home and have a fight. And not that I want to, like, you know, kind of, you know, use art as therapy here, but I think there is enough compartmentalizing in life as it is that I wanted to kind of join my whole forces so that I can approach a problem with hearing what I heard on the news, what I feel at home, what I look at on the street. All of that somehow finds its way into dancing, and I find it's a lot more interesting for me that way.
A lot of choreographers don't start choreographing until they've retired from dance. And you're still pretty young. You're certainly still dancing. You dance your own works.
Uh-huh.
What made you want to start choreographing?
Oh, boy. I never really saw myself as someone who would not choreograph. It didn't just dawn on me. I think when maybe it was my earlier work when I was a kid, I did a lot of composition, improvisation. The idea of dancing and making dances seemed to be the same thing for me. And also, I never was one of those really versatile dancers who could do anything and do triple turns and splits and all this kind of stuff. So I figured that I would have to do my own work anyway if I wanted to get out there.
You have both black and white dancers in your company.
Yeah.
And in the duet dances, you don't couple them off according to race. And I think it's interesting that you do that.
But in a way, they are coupled off by race.
You mean?
I mean, it's not
intentionally
it's not
integrated.
I'm very aware that a certain kind of statement is made when it's a black and white couple. That's
mm-hmm.
very different than when it's two blacks or two whites
mm-hmm.
or two women or two men. And it's not that I'm making a point of that, but I mean, you know, I'm living in the 80s here, and, you know, everything is a statement in some way. The dance we're talking about, Habit of Attraction, one of the couples is a black man and a white woman with blonde hair, no less. And it's the most repressive pairing, I think, in the piece. There's a lot of mutual holding back. There's a lot of angry, kind of nasty force. And we took this piece to Atlanta in South Carolina, and I was really concerned as to, like, I wonder who's going to see this and if there's going to be any kind of a mention made about this on a racial basis.
Did you ever feel that there were limitations on you as a black dancer when you were getting started? Limitations in the companies that you could join is what I mean.
Probably, yeah. There are a lot of companies I wasn't even considering joining, and, you know, really overtly or unconsciously, that might have been a racial reason why. But I think that it kind of worked both ways. One, I wasn't interested in joining a traditional dance, you know, normal whitish company, because that kind of work wasn't really interesting to me. I was also not interested in joining an all-black company for another set of reasons.
What were those reasons?
Well, the black companies that I were seeing at the time in the 70s were not doing work that I was interested in, like ALE Company. I mean, I think it's really important, but it wasn't my own particular voice. It wasn't my style of moving. At the time that I started dancing, I was kind of concerned more with, you know, in a real selfish way, perhaps, like, how do I feel as a dancer? What kind of steps interest me? What kind of movement is what, you know, turns me on? That was really my interest. I wasn't really, didn't want to make a political manifesto or statement in dancing.
You know, I read about you that at age 5, I think, you started studying in an Alwyn Nikolai Murray Lewis company for children. And I was thinking, gosh, how lucky you were. Most 5-year-olds who get dance lessons are put into some, like,
tutus.
Dance company for kids. Yeah, with either tutus or, like, really bad interpretive dance.
Yeah.
Or dancing to, like, the worst pop music on the radio.
Yeah, I was really lucky. I didn't even know it. I mean, you know, at five years old, you just kind of show up because your mother brings you, and you just
Your mother must
there.
Have been pretty hip to bring you to that place.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. She was looking for an adult dance class because she had arthritis, and rather than pay a babysitter, she kind of took us all along. So we showed up every Saturday, and I did improv. We improvised about clouds. We, you know, danced like a green chiffon scarf. I mean, it is. And it just seemed totally natural. I thought everybody did that. I knew that a lot of my friends didn't, but I just thought that that's what dancing was about. It wasn't until I got to graduate school that I found out about people like Merce Cunningham and Paul Taylor or the Judson movement, and I just kind of had my eyes opened a little wider, let's say.
Some dancers, once they start establishing themselves as choreographers, cut back on their dancing. Are you looking forward to dancing less, or do you want to keep dancing as much as you can, as long as you can?
You know, that depends on the day or the season. There was a time, like 6 months ago, I said, you know, I think I'm going to start easing my way out. You know, let the sun set and the dancers take off, and I'll just be in the background. And then I changed my mind because I really like it. I don't know. It's a drug in a way. It gets harder to keep it up. It's harder to stay in shape. But I don't want to dance past the point of when I feel like I should stop. But I feel invigorated now. I feel like there's no real reason to take myself out of everything. I am dancing less than I used to, which is fine. And I'm enjoying the role of being a choreographer who sits out and watches. I mean, you can see a lot more about how a piece is made when you're not in it. And that I appreciate very much. I mean, that's a real a growth point, I think.
B.B. Miller, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Terry, thank you. This was a great interview.
Choreographer and dancer B.B. Miller spoke with us from the NPR Bureau in New York. This is Fresh Air.